International. Risks in Iran, Ukraine and elsewhere. How to avert a nuclear catastrophe. An interview with Rafael Grossi, head of the world's atomic watchdog.
On May 6th, Rafael Grossi, Director General of the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, travelled to Tehran and met Hossein Amir Abdollahian, Iran's foreign minister. By May 19th, Mr. Amir Abdollahian was dead, killed in a helicopter crash that also took the life of Ebrahim Raisi, Iran's president, among others. These deaths throw Iran's sclerotic theocracy into a moment of confusion and uncertainty, with far-reaching implications for the country's nuclear program. Mr. Grossi, fresh from his trip to Iran, recently spoke to The Economist about the Iranian nuclear file, as well as the Russian-occupied Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine, and the growing attraction of nuclear weapons worldwide. The Vienna-based IAEA has two jobs, both enshrined in the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, or NPT, of 1968. One is to promote the peaceful use of nuclear energy. The other is to ensure that using such energy does not lead to countries developing the bomb. And the country of main concern today is Iran. Iran's nuclear program is expanding rapidly in size and sophistication. It has 27 times as much enriched uranium as was permitted under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, a multinational nuclear deal abrogated by Donald Trump in 2018. It is now an empty shell, says Mr. Grossi, who was speaking before Mr. Raisi's death. That stockpile, some of which is enriched to 60% purity, close to weapons grade, is enough for about three bombs. Along with Iran's use of newer and faster centrifuges, these developments have completely superseded the JCPOA, he says. Iran could produce a bomb's worth of weapons-grade uranium in just a week and enough for seven over a month, according to research by the Institute for Science and International Security, an American think tank. When Mr. Grossi visited Iran in March 2023, the country promised to cooperate more fully with the IAEA, including by reinstalling surveillance equipment it had removed earlier. That progress quickly stalled, says Mr. Grossi, with both sides talking past each other. He has said the IAEA has lost continuity of knowledge about, among other things, Iran's production and stockpiles of centrifuges, heavy water, and uranium ore concentrate. These could be used to reconstitute a nuclear weapons program in secret, rather than using known facilities that could be bombed. On May 7th, Mr. Grossi returned to see whether he might break the impasse. There had been hopes that Iran would slow down its accumulation of 60% enriched uranium by downblending it to lower levels. But there was no such commitment, says Mr. Grossi. Iran seems to have been stringing everyone along throughout. He frets over a growing number of statements by senior Iranians that the country might be more open to a bomb. In April, as Israel and Iran exchanged missile fire, the head of the unit of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC, responsible for the safety of nuclear sites, hinted that Iran might rescind a fatwa against nuclear weapons issued by Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the country's supreme ruler, in 2003. This is unacceptable, explains Mr. Grossi, unless the country would choose to denounce or leave the NPT. There is no consensus among experts and Western officials on whether these statements are signals that Iran intends to build a bomb, or whether it simply wants to bolster deterrence against America and Israel at a tense time. Mr. Grossi says he is consoled by the fact that neither the late Mr. Amir Abdullahian nor Mohammad Islami, Iran's vice president and head of the country's atomic energy organization, had repeated these statements. He says a new agreement, a JCPOA rebooted or a JCPOA 2.0, is imperative. The death of Mr. Raisi is likely to shake up the system. A vulnerable and isolated regime could be tempted to develop nuclear weapons for more security. But if a more pragmatic conservative becomes the next president after an election on June 28th, negotiations over a new nuclear deal may be possible, if not probable. Mr. Raisi was a candidate to succeed the ailing Mr. Khamenei, however. His death improves the chances of Mojtaba Khamenei, the latter's son, taking over instead, and so could strengthen his allies in Iran's IRGC, the driving force behind the nuclear program for almost 40 years. These issues may dominate a meeting of the IAEA's Board of Governors between June 3rd and 7th. Some Western countries want to refer Iran to the UN Security Council, or UNSC. In the past, the veto-wielding P5 countries had a common denominator on Iran, agreeing on sanctions, says Mr. Grossi. Now deep splits exist between America, Britain and France on one side and Russia and China on the other. That great power gridlock, in turn, means that Iran can proceed with relative impunity. An Iranian bomb would have far-reaching consequences, warns Mr. Grossi. The Korean Peninsula had very circumscribed parameters that made a domino very, very difficult in that circumstance, he says, referring to North Korea's acquisition of nuclear capabilities in 2006. I think the Middle East is completely different. Here, he says, you would have a situation which would lead to more countries, if not openly seeking nuclear weapons, trying to get latency and trying to get closer to that because they would feel that the system is failing. In September, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia's de facto leader, reaffirmed that his kingdom would pursue a bomb if Iran developed one. It is seeking permission to enrich uranium and reprocess spent fuel, steps that would allow it to produce fissile material, as part of a broader energy and defence pact with America that is under intense discussion. Mr. Grossi is circumspect when asked about that, saying only that he intends to work very closely with the kingdom. But he clearly worries about nuclear proliferation. I think it would spread beyond the Middle East, he says. Unfortunately, what we see is a trend, a growing attraction. The lure of nuclear weapons is there. We cannot deny it. It is very, very regrettable. The threat from nuclear conflict in the Middle East is not the only terrifying problem on Mr. Grossi's agenda. Russia has also said it intends to restart the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine, which it has occupied and militarized. The plant has repeatedly come under attack from shells and drones, most recently in April. Mr. Grossi, who visited the site in February and met Vladimir Putin in Moscow in March, says that talks over the restart are continuing and very delicate. He argues that the IAEA has played a vital role. When the invasion began, he says, no one asked the agency or Mr. Grossi personally to visit Zaporizhzhia. Had he asked permission, he says, he might well have been rebuffed. With the support of America, Britain and France, Mr. Grossi singles out Emmanuel Macron, he chose not only to go, but to stay. I went there to visit, and I forgot a group of people, he quips, referring to inspectors who stayed behind and are still present there and at every other Ukrainian nuclear site. And then we were there, and who is going to kick us out? That enduring presence has allowed the IAEA to maintain a technical dialogue with the Russian operators of the plant and to serve as a source of ground truth. You may have seen that when it comes to Zaporizhia, there's almost no fake news. We have an update every day. Despite attacks, he says, both parties have broadly respected his demands to avoid turning the plant into a military target. Until this war ends without an accident, we will not be able to say mission accomplished. But I think it has been a good example of what can be done. Ukrainian officials are more sceptical, believing that Russia has managed to deceive the IAEA. Elsewhere, the agency's job is growing. In March, for the first time in 13 years, Mr. Grossi visited Damascus, where he had a frank conversation with Bashar al-Assad, Syria's president. In 2007, Israel bombed an incomplete reactor in the east of the country, believing it to be part of a Syrian nuclear weapons program. It had not been declared to the IAEA. Mr. Grossi accepts that the agency will get few answers on that. That piece of infrastructure was disposed of, to put it mildly, but he wants the Syrians to open up on related facilities. He is cagey on whether that will happen. We are working on having a possibility to access these places. But the dialogue is a start. The IAEA has no contact with North Korea, but Mr. Grossi warns that the program is growing in every direction and with a huge question mark on nuclear safety. In the coming years, the agency will also have to safeguard a deluge of nuclear energy projects. It expects a 30% rise in the number of countries operating power plants by 2035. At least 59 are under construction, some in countries with no nuclear experience. Many are being built by Russia or China, which have tended to impose weaker safeguards on clients than America does. Mr. Grossi is also in discussions with America, Britain and Australia over the AUKUS deal, which will see Australia, a non-nuclear country, operate submarines with reactors powered by highly enriched uranium. Technology increasingly helps keep tabs on nuclear material. The agency has developed simply amazing means to detect enriched uranium in the past few years, he says. You can build a supermarket on top of a place where 35 years ago there was uranium. We're going to find it. Mr. Grossi, an Argentine, says his Russia-Ukraine shuttle diplomacy is an indication in these times of enormous scepticism about multilateral organizations of the role these organizations can play. The IAEA stock has risen accordingly. In a change from the past, he says, the UNSC wants to hear from us. They want to know what is happening. Perhaps unsurprisingly, he is mentioned as a possible candidate to succeed Antonio Guterres as UN Secretary General in 2 years. The conventional wisdom is that the next person to take up the UN post will need to be a woman. And there are some in the UN who are aggrieved at what they see as Mr. Grossi's very public role in Zaporizhia, says Richard Gowan of the International Crisis Group, a think tank. His candidacy is rather intimately tied to Zaporizhia being intact in 2026 and the Iranians not having a bomb, explains Mr. Gowan. Neither of which, he says, is fully assured.